The first reading of Witness of Ancient Wisdom comes from the Gospel of Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and when he went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man was a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which one of them will love me more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, and hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, a very familiar story. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." The Witness of Modern Wisdom is written by Reverend Sarah Speed. "If God lived next door, I'd drop off a loaf of bread. I'd use my mom's best recipe. I'd wrap it in parchment and ribbon and place it on the front stoop. If God lived next door, I'd leave a note with my phone number. Call anytime you need anything. I'm always happy to help. If God lived next door, I'd keep sugar on the shelf, just in case she needed a cup. I'd put a picnic table in the front yard and begin taking my coffee there. Whenever God passed by with their gaggle of rescue dogs, I would say, 'Want to sit for a moment? Want to rest your legs?' I'd keep a jar of dog treats and water by the mailbox and change my doormat to one that says, 'All are welcome here.' I'd invite God over for dinner. She'd bring bread and juice. I'd host a block party so that everyone could meet her. I'd start a community garden so that the kids could run between the rows of squash and tomatoes while we adults put our hands in the dirt. We'd share stories while we weeded and eat harvest meals at the end of the season. If God lived next door, I'd want to build something beautiful. Then again, who says she doesn't. God is still speaking, and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Will you pray with me? Good news, God. Speak louder than the news updates. Speak louder than our mental distractions. Speak louder than our anger and louder than our fear. God, speak loudly to us today because we long to hear your good news once more. With hope we pray. Amen. This morning, my task is to speak good news. And I woke up this morning thinking, oh my goodness. Yesterday we woke to news of war and violence, nations striking nations, lives disrupted, families afraid. And I confess, sometimes words feel very small in moments like this. It feels extremely hard to find the good news. I confess it left me feeling a little angry and depressed to think of our country being drawn into another war. And rather than try to explain anything, I thought, what good news can I share this morning? I thought perhaps it's best to return to those core tenets of our faith. That is, after all, what we had hoped to do in this season, to return to the taproot of our faith tradition, to the life and the teachings of Jesus. He said, if you want to be righteous, love God and love neighbor as yourself. Simple words, and yet perhaps the highest and most difficult calling we have. Love God and love neighbor as yourself. For this series, I've been trying to find good news stories to share with you. And one of the stories that I found was just that, loving God and loving neighbor. It was shared by the Presbyterian Church, the PCUSA. That's the story of Daniel and Kevin Riley. More than a decade ago, the couple was addicted to drugs, living in poverty in Northwest Washington State. They were homeless. Life had narrowed to survival. And Danielle wrote, I don't think I was exactly suicidal, but I wouldn't have minded if my life ended. And one night they found themselves sleeping outside of a local church. And the members of that church, they remembered, did something small yet significant. They ran an electric cord outside at night, so that Kevin could charge a phone and a heating pad. Nothing dramatic, just one small, quiet act of care and compassion. Danielle went into jail when she was 3 months pregnant with their eldest. But there she began attending a Bible study where two pastors visited each week, reminding her that she was not forgotten, that she was indeed a beloved child of God, and nothing she could do or failed to do would change that fact. She was beloved of God. And slowly, their lives began to heal. And after their release from jail, they found a church community, a little Presbyterian church on the side of town. And they went one day and they shared their testimony, and then they went back. And they kept sharing their life there. And over time, when they got clean and sober, the two eventually were called to be co-commissioned pastors of Mount Baker Presbyterian Church in Concrete, Washington. The good news message that they preach there time and again now is no one is beyond resurrection. If it can happen to us, it can happen to anyone. Their success was not in a prayer that they said, and then suddenly everything became easy. But they traced it back to that fact that someone chose to see them as neighbors, chose to take the time and the energy to practice that one small act of empathy and compassion. In our reading today, Jesus attends another dinner hosted by a man named Simon. We don't know how he came to this dinner or how many were there or much at all about it. What we know is that an unnamed woman enters, and she's described only as a sinner. Through tradition, we've come to think of her as a sex worker. But in fact, that word used for her, a sinner, is the same word that's used for Zacchaeus, the tax collector. But she says nothing. She kneels at Jesus' feet, weeping, her tears washing away the dust of the road. And she wipes his feet with her hair and then anoints them with precious perfume. The host, Simon, quietly judges her. And Jesus, he says, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. But Jesus sees differently. He sees her. He sees him. And then he does what he does best. He tells a story. He tells a story about debts forgiven. And then he turns his face toward the woman and speaks words that mean more than forgiveness, as we usually imagine it, more than pardon. He says, your faith has saved you. You are forgiven. And that word is aphesis, which means release, freedom, liberation. She is released not only from sin, but from shame, from isolation, from being defined by how others see her. And perhaps the deeper question in this story is not whether she is forgiven, but whether Simon might also be released from his judgment, prejudice, and pride. If we remember back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 4, Jesus took the scroll of Isaiah, opened it, and announced his purpose to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom for the oppressed. Release. And it is striking how deeply every human being longs for that. Release from fear, release from despair, release from hatred, even the hatred we sometimes carry without realizing it. When we look honestly, we begin to see how alike we all are. All of us want to be safe. All of us want our children to live. All of us want dignity. All of us want to belong. But there is a kind of religion in America today which preaches a different gospel, a gospel of us versus them, a gospel which calls empathy sin and draws the line between who is our neighbor and who is our enemy at a nation's borders. Dr. King once reminded us that neighbor is not a geographical term. Neighbor is not limited by borders or nationality. Neighbor is anyone whose life is bound up with ours, which we understand more and more is everyone and everything. All of us are part of this one fabric. And so today, we sit with a painful truth. The people living in fear under the barrage of bombs, they are our neighbors too. Iranian families are our neighbors. And we have neighbors here with families there. While some may be dancing in celebration over the end of a truly terrible and repressive regime, others are weeping and mourning over the destruction of a girls' school and all of the lives lost there. Everyone our neighbor. When fear rises, when leaders speak in ways that divide the world into enemies and allies, followers of Christ are called to remember something deeper. We are called to love, not sentimentally, not abstractly, but faithfully and boldly. We're called to speak peace when anger feels louder, to resist hatred when it feels justified, and to refuse to let anyone be reduced to an other. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Not the powerful, not the victorious, the peacemakers. In just a few moments, we'll come to this table, a table where strangers become neighbors, where enemies are not named, only guests are welcomed, where no nation has priority and no person is excluded. At this table, we remember a love strong enough to face violence without becoming violent, a love willing to be broken rather than used to break others. Here, Christ gathers us, not because we have solved the world's suffering, but because we hunger together for another way to live. And so we come carrying grief. We also come carrying hope. And we come seeking release. And here we're reminded again, no one is beyond resurrection. No one is beyond liberation. No one is beyond the reach of God's mercy. So as we come forward today, may we remember our neighbors, be they near or far. May this bread strengthen us for compassion. May this cup deepen our courage for peace. And may God make us, even in a wounded world, people of love. I want to close with an affirmation of faith that is shared with us as part of this series. And I take some comfort in knowing that churches all across our country are praying the same prayer today. It says, "I believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. It sounds like welcome and feels like home. It sounds like laughter and feels like mercy. It sounds like love and feels like a seat at the table. And so I believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. I have seen it alive in the world. And even when my heart aches, even when wars rage, even when mercy feels out of reach, I remember the one who welcomed the children and led with nonviolence. I remember the one who cared for the vulnerable and inspired those around him. I remember that the good news really is good news. For I have seen it alive in the world. Thanks be to God, and amen."